Welcome to Standard 12th History students for the online study program. Today we shall study lesson 11 entitled The Revolt of 1857 and its representations. Well, the year 1857 was an epoch-making year, or you can say it is an extremely important year in the history of India. It witnessed the occurrence of a great event which provided a new momentum and a new direction to Indian history. This epoch-making event was the Great Uprising of 1857, which is also known as the First War of Indian Independence or Sipahi Mutiny or an organized Hindu-Muslim uprising, etc. For the convenient study of the present lesson, that is the revolt of 1857, I have divided the chapter broadly into two units. Unit 1 comprising facts that matter. Similarly, part 2 consisting discussion of textbook questions and answers and a timeline presentation. Rebels and the Raj, or the revolt of 1857 and its representations. Since the mid-18th century, Nawabs and Rajas had gradually lost their power and authority. Their freedom was curtailed, their armed forces were disbanded, and their revenues and territories were taken away. Many ruling families, such as Rani Lakshmibai of Jhansi, tried to negotiate with the company to protect their interest, but they did not get success. Now, the company began to plan to bring an end to the Mughal dynasty. To make this plan successful, the company took several measures. The name of the king was removed from the coins minted by the company. In 1849, it was announced that after the death of Bahadur Shah Jafar, the family of the king would be shifted out of the Red Fort and given another place in Delhi to reside in. In 1856, the company decided that Bahadur Shah Jafar would be the last Mughal king, and after his death, his descendants would be called princes. In the countryside, peasants and jamindars resented the high taxes and the rigid methods of revenue collection. The Indian sepoys were unhappy about their pay, allowances, and condition of service. Some of the company rules even violated their religious sentiments. Thus, everywhere there spread discontentment. The responses to the reforms brought in the Indian society by the British were also not positive, although some reforms were essential. The company passed laws to stop the practice of sati. English language education was promoted. In 1850, a new law was passed to make conversion to Christianity easier. Some Indians thought that the British were destroying their religion and their social customs, while some wanted to change existing social practices. By and by, the people began to view the British as their common enemy, and therefore they rose up against this enemy at the same time. In May 1857, a massive rebellion started that threatened the company's very existence in India. Sipai mutinied in several places, beginning from Meerut, and a large number of people from different sections of society rose up in rebellion. On 29th March 1857, Mangal Pandey, a young soldier, was hanged to death for attacking his officers in Barakpur, West Bengal. This was too much for the sipais. They refused to do the army drill using the new cartridges, which were suspected of being coated with the fat of cows and pigs. Thus, tension grew between the company and the sipais. The sipais were determined to bring an end to the company's rule. From Meerut, they rushed to Delhi. As the news of their arrival spread, the regiments stationed in Delhi also rose up in rebellion. They killed several British officials, seized arms and ammunition, set buildings on fire. They met the Mughal Emperor Bahadur Shah Jafar and proclaimed him as their leader. The Mughal Emperor got support from the rulers and chiefs of the country, and together they rose against the British power. After the British were routed from Delhi, there was no uprising for a few days. Then a spurt of mutiny began. Regiment after regiment mutinied and took off to join other troops at nodal points like Delhi, Kanpur, and Lucknow. After them, the people of the towns and villages also rose up in rebellion and rallied around local leaders, jamindars, and chiefs who were prepared to fight the British. Thus, a widespread revolt shook the British confidence over ruling India. The company had no way out except suppressing the revolt with all its might. It brought reinforcement from England, passed new laws so that the rebels could be convicted with ease, and then moved into the storm centers of the revolt. The company recaptured Delhi from the rebel forces in September 1857. Bahadur Shah Jafar was tried in court and sentenced to life imprisonment. He, along with his wife, were sent to prison in Rangoon, modern Yangon. But people in other areas still continued to resist and fought with the British. The British had to fight for 2 years to suppress the massive forces of mass rebellion. The British had regained control of the country by the end of 1859, but they could not carry on ruling the land with the same policies anymore. The British Parliament passed a new act in 1858 and transferred the powers of the East India Company to the British Crown in order to ensure a more responsible management of Indian affairs. The Governor General of India was given the title Viceroy, that is, a personal representative of the Crown. In this way, the British government took direct responsibility for ruling India. All ruling chiefs of the country were allowed to pass on their kingdoms to their heirs. All ruling chiefs of the country were allowed to pass on their kingdoms to their heirs, including adopted sons. However, they were made to acknowledge the British Queen as their sovereign paramount. With this, Unit 1 ends. Now, let us start Unit 2, that is, textbook questions answers discussion. Question number 1. Why did the mutinous sepoys in many places turn to erstwhile rulers to provide leadership to the revolt? I am repeating the question. Why did the mutinous sepoys in many places turn to erstwhile rulers to provide leadership to the revolt? The answer is like this. Following are the major reasons to explain why the rebellious soldiers turned to native rulers for leadership. Point 1. East India Company defeated native rulers to grab power in India. Many believed that the native Indian rulers had the legal and legitimate authority to regain power in the respective kingdoms. Therefore, it was natural that they became the leaders of the rebels and regained the lost status of rulers. Point 2. The erstwhile rulers had substantial resources at their command. They had wealth and private armies too. The rebels waited to get the support of resources from them, and by declaring them the leaders, it was a natural outcome. Point 3. Most of the erstwhile Indian rulers were popular at the local level. Their subjects often sympathized with them, as they believed that the latter were unlawfully thrown out of power and even suffered humiliation. Choosing these native rulers was echoing the sentiments of the people and winning more support for the cause. Textbook question number 2. Discuss the evidence that indicates planning and coordination on the part of the rebels. I am repeating the question. Discuss the evidence that indicates planning and coordination on the part of the rebels. The answer. The rebellion was not abrupt and sporadic, but to a great extent done with planning and care. This is brought out by the following points. Point one, the rebels decided to strike when the large part of the British army was in Burma. Point number two, the time chosen for the rebellion was summer, that is very hostile weather condition for the British. Summer was also the season when the entire countryside would be easy to navigate. Point three, to spread the message of rebellion, the rebels used symbols like bread and lotus from village to village. The last point, four, efforts were made to maintain Hindu-Muslim unity whenever an area would fall under rebel control. Cow slaughter was banned. Now going to question number three. Question number three, discuss the extent to which religious beliefs shaped the events of 1857. I am repeating question number three, discuss the extent to which religious beliefs shaped the events of 1857. People during the company rule felt that their religious sentiments are systematically hurt by the government. For them, it was an attack on their religious freedom and an insult. The religious causes for the revolt are as follows. Point 1. Immediate cause. The soldiers were given khichdis greased with cow and pig fat. This angered Muslims and Hindus alike. Point 2. Reforms by the company. The company introduced many religious and social reforms. Many Indians began to believe that it was an attempt on the part of the government to deviate them from their own religion. Important of such reforms were prevention of sati system, widow remarriage, etc. The last point, point number three, activities of Christian missionaries during the company rule. During the company rule involved the spread of education, but local people looked upon them with suspicion. Thus, the people plunged in rebellion against the foreign rule. Question number four, what were the measures taken to ensure unity among the rebels? Question number four, what were the measures taken to ensure unity among the rebels? A very important element of the revolt of 1857 was the unity shown by the Hindus and the Muslims in the struggle against the foreign rule. First, the immediate cause of the rebellion was the use of khichdis greased with fat of cow and pig, angering Hindus and Muslims alike. After the rebels marched to Delhi, they declared the Mughal Emperor Bahadur Shah their All India leader. Thus, the Mughal Emperor was the leader of Hindus and Muslims alike. Both Hindus and Muslims respected each other's religious sentiments. Whenever a new area fell into the control of rebels, cow slaughter was made illegal to respect Hindu sentiments. Thus, Hindu-Muslim unity was the hallmark of the unity. With this, Unit 2 ends. Thanking you.